Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, June 10th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I made it out of San Jose alive last week. I did leave a note at the Airbnb. If they find my voice, they're going to send it back to me. With me today, I have two guests who are ready to talk about the topics of the morning. I have Dave Hamilton with me. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. I made it back as well. I did not see your voice while I was gallivanting around the airport, but it does sound like you found at least part of it compared to where you were the last I saw you. So
that's true.
It seems like you're recovering.
Yeah. I had some in the side pocket of my backpack.
There you go.
Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, welcome to Monday.
Yeah, like it or not. So the first topic I wanted to talk about today is, Andrew, you have an interesting perspective on Apple and advertising, and I wanted to get into that.
Yeah, so I made a link teaser from this article by Owen Williams. His argument is that Apple is killing advertising with some of its new features. I disagree with that, though. I mean, Apple is definitely shaking up the ad industry, but I don't think they're trying to kill advertising. They just want to kill the invasive tracking part of it. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about, I think it was a couple weeks ago, in a future version of Safari, Apple is building this thing called privacy-preserving ad click attribution, which basically means you can have effective ads without all the tracking. Mm-hmm. And last week, I also wrote about the study that was done by these researchers who found that the targeted ads that they observed only really led to an increase of about 4% revenue. Mm-hmm. So we may be slowly finding out, and there needs to be more studies done, but we may be slowly finding out that is targeted advertising more valuable than not?
So I have some thoughts about this, as you might imagine.
Yes.
I'll wear my old man hat for a second, because we've been publishing the Mac Observer for 20 years, right? For those of you who are good at math and know your history, that means we started Mac Observer before Google existed as a company, before it existed as a search engine. And of course, long before they got into the paid click business.
Well, let's be honest, you started Mac Observer before years started with two.
Yeah, that is true.
So there is that.
Yeah. Not too long before, but, you know, 368 days before or something. So,
exactly.
But you know, it counts. Yeah. When we started, ads were, it was before the big .com, you know, bust, right? Mm-hmm. And so ad prices dropped like 10% to 10% of what they previously were when that bust happened. And it was shortly kind of out of that that Google and several of these other companies grew. But I am a firm believer that this obsession with tracking clicks has ruined the ad industry. So I don't think Apple is trying to kill advertising. I think Google did their darndest to kill advertising, and they did. What Google did was killed advertising in terms of banner ads, at least, in lieu of this thing that they created where they get everybody to pay them for clicks. Mm-hmm. I had one very astute marketer years and years ago. We offered to send him reports that showed him how many people clicked on his ad. And he's like, yeah, like, I just don't see where there's actual real value in that. He said, I get that there are metrics, and some people just want to see a number. And so clicks are a number, right? And you can show people that, and that makes them feel good about their ads. He says, but I don't see where clicks are actually the thing that matters. He said, I'm looking to brand my product. I am choosing the audiences and the, you know, the properties that I advertise on. And that's how I know that I'm in the right place. And then he says, you know, in a general sense, I look at my, you know, bottom line numbers or my sales numbers 3 months after the fact, did things increase? Like, you know, and there was always a saying that says, I know that 50% of my advertising works. I wish I knew which 50%. And Google did their darndest to answer that question, or at least to.
Sorry,
to,
I can't help with that.
Yeah, see, there it is.
Something related. But,
yep.
You want to know what is the meaning of darndest?
No, Google. So anyway, yep, see how it is in the life that we lead. Yep. But Google did their darndest to ruin that. And
well, did they do their darndest to ruin it or just make it so that their way was the only way that worked?
Well, not worked is the wrong term. There was the only, theirs was the only way that seemed attractive, okay. Right? And this guy, in fact, I think I can tell you who it was. It was Andrew Green, who now is with 12 South.
12
and,
South,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And what he said to me was, I don't care about clicks because, Dave, when was the last time somebody counted the number of cars that crashed into a billboard as success?
Aha.
And there's a really smart lesson to be intuited there. You know, just because someone's clicking, it means that they were distracted by it, that they were interested in it, but not necessarily that they were interested, that they were interested in the ad, but not necessarily in the product. In fact, mm-hmm. we've done some studies internally that show that ads with a lower click-through rate actually perform better from the standpoint of driving awareness and sales. And we're not the only ones that have done these studies. Other sure. people have as well. Yeah. So it's very interesting. But what Google did was they decided, well, people like to have a metric that they focus on and that they can count, right? Because this whole idea of, I know 50% of my advertising works, but I just don't know which 50%, that's a very nebulous thing. Google tried to make it less nebulous. And they found that people like the idea of a report that showed clicks. So mm-hmm. Google organized their entire business around people paying for clicks.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy ads with Google, you get all kinds of information in their reports. In fact, their reports are stellar if you are willing to read them the right way. They will tell you how many people saw your ad, what people did after the fact, because they can track you and that gets creepy and all that. But they really like know a lot of things, including things about people that didn't click on your ad, right? It doesn't just have to be post-click tracking. It can be post-view tracking. And they have a lot of great information. But they lead you down the click path simply by the layout of their reports. The number they highlight, they give you all the numbers, but the one that they highlight is the only one they charge you for, and that is clicks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's this idea that Apple is making it much more difficult to do, not necessarily click tracking. I don't think that's what they're, in fact, that they are preserving that by the name of their policy. But they are making it difficult to track you as you know, just because you clicked on this, should mm-hmm. we retarget you with the same thing over and over and over again and until you buy or even after you buy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of that, it should go away. And I think Apple will probably make advertising more valuable to people again, because, we're going to have to stop obsessing over this thing that you know really doesn't increase the value in a substantial way.
Right. It's just a measure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. The problem is doing a brand lift survey is, you know, like a six-figure endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So somebody that's got a business that, you know, is selling maybe, let's say, $5,000 a month worth of product, or even if you're selling, you know, $50,000 a month worth of product, like carving out, you know, $150,000 to do a brand lift survey, that's a pretty big chunk of your revenue, let alone profits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people don't do that. And those are the people that Google preys upon, mm-hmm. to be perfectly honest. Yeah. And so I'm totally happy. And Google's not the only one. Like, there are other advertising companies out there that are doing all sorts of retargeting and everything. Mm-hmm. But you know, Google's the stand-in. So yeah.
Of course.
I think.
Well, and part of it is that I think, given the amount of advertising and in the world, right? Like, I've been to places where, like, on the back of the door in the restroom, right, there's an advertisement, and billboards, and on the sides of everything, and in between everything on TV shows, depending on how you watch TV shows, and every web page everybody goes to, and on and on and on. There's so much of it that being able to get people's attention in the first place, let alone hold it long enough to go, this is the thing I'm actually trying to sell you, I just used this clever in for it, is a very different kind of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it's a tough nut to crack, like, no matter how you slice it. And it feels like Apple's trying to sort of nudge people towards a new way. I think, Andrew, I'm with you on this. It's not that Apple's trying to kill advertising. You know, obviously, Apple also relies on advertising. But I think they're trying to do it in a way that makes it more liable that the stuff, more probable that the stuff that I see is actually going to be stuff I'm interested in. And it means that my personal information isn't being mined for fun and profit.
Right. Yeah, because they're not targeting you. They are targeting the audience of the places you visit. Just like the ad in the restroom, you know, the ones that I see at the urinal, you know, those aren't targeting me, and they won't target me until they either do facial recognition everywhere or put a chip in my brain. Right. Which, yeah. I mean, like, but that's what it takes to get there. And we're not there. And yet all of that stuff is still really effective. It's all still being sold. It's all still being renewed. People are seeing value in it. Marketers are continuing to spend money on it. So, yeah, we don't need. And again, I would argue that the value of advertising is greater when you take a step back and say, yeah, I don't just want to barf ads out that are going to follow Kelly around the web. Instead, I just want to like barf ads at her when she is on the sites where she is interested in the thing that I have to offer. Mm-hmm. It's because it's a very different thing when you're in a, you know, one mindset. You're like, well, yeah, like at the urinal, are you thinking about buying a new mouse for your computer? No, you're not thinking about anything at a urinal, I would assume. But you know, I'm not thinking about buying a new mouse for my computer, but I might be thinking about what band to go see at that bar three nights later.
Right.
Right. So this makes sense. Like contextually chosen advertising makes a whole lot of sense. And Apple is essentially shutting the door to targeting in a personal way so that we're forced to go back to that. And I think it's freaking great. As someone that makes all of his living off of advertising, or at least most of it, I think it's great.
Well, and I think it's a slightly different, but almost more effective approach.
Like, yeah, and agreed.
Like, for the record, I don't see many ads at urinals because I'm not often at urinals. But
fair.
But if you are at a bar regularly and that bar is advertising something that's going to happen at the bar in the bar, that makes the most sense because it's advertising to people who have already been there at least once. So
qualified customer. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the kind of thing that I think is useful. And I wonder if part of the problem here is that it's going to have to force advertisers to sort of up their game and find new ways to reach out to people. And maybe people are just grumpy because I've done it this way before. Why do I have to change?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
There's a lot of people, you know, I mean, when this first happened, it was a new thing, right? Everybody that was doing marketing was, you know, had these old methods that they had used because that's all that had existed. And then it was, oh, let's try this new thing, paid search, pay-per-click, like that whole deal. Now there are people who are in, you know, senior marketing positions who have only known this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things are going to get really interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. I want to see it. I think
same. I can't wait.
Because I like advertising tends to be creative. Like a part of what goes into advertising is a part that is just referred to as the creative of the campaign.
Yep.
And I really want to know what happens when other parts of it have to be creative too. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's back to the old. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. We will kick it old school, yo.
We're still advertising to humans, so of course we're doing it old school. Like that part hasn't changed. We're not advertising to robots. So
yes,
yeah, bear that in mind. Yeah.
So and as that evolves, we will have Dave back to talk about that some more. Also, one of the other things that we want to talk about a little bit is
interrupt? Yes. Actually, whet the appetite, and then I have one thing I'd like to.
We want to talk about some of the stuff that we saw last week, particularly some of the new features in the operating system. But first,
I just wanted to thank our DubDub sponsors for making all of our coverage last week possible.
Yes.
So that is Direct Mail for Mac, SaneBox, Carbon Copy Cloner, Smile with Text Expander, and iMazing. And you can check them out. The links to them will all be in the show notes for this episode. So thank you for letting me interrupt and do that, Kelly.
No, absolutely. It was really great. And it was great to get the opportunity to chat with some of those people in person. Like, I haven't had a chance to hang out with the iMazing folks, for example. And it was really nice to get the opportunity to say, hi, I think your product is awesome. It's always a great opportunity when you get that.
It is.
And not everyone does. So I always kind of appreciate that I get the opportunity to look someone in the eye and say, thank you for your software. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So
were the iMazing folks iMazing to meet?
They were, believe it or not.
Sweet.
I mean, for me, Dave's met them before. But
they are great folks. I've known Gregorio for many, many years, and Jerome, and they're good people. I met more of the iMazing team than I've ever met before. So yeah, that was good. Yeah.
So the other thing we wanted to talk about was we got new features in upcoming versions of macOS and iOS, and we got a whole new operating system, so to speak. From last week. So for people who didn't watch the keynote from WWDC this year, Tim Cook came out and talked to us about all the new features that are coming to the new version of macOS, which is 10.15. They're calling it Catalina. Apparently, we're going back to cat names for the operating system. I'm here all week. Tip your waitress, we're out of cows. The other thing we got was a sneak peek at what iOS 14 is going to look like. We got some cool stuff there. And also, we got a whole new OS, because iPad OS is going to be a separate thing. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's now built on iOS. Like, iOS is the core of watchOS and tvOS and what runs on your phone, which is still called iOS, and iPad OS, which is a slightly different thing with a little bit more stuff kind of added to it. So, Dave, what did you see? Actually, Andrew, what did you see out of Catalina that looks most interesting to you?
So there's two things about Catalina that I find really neat. So the first one is that Catalina is going to have its own dedicated read-only system volume.
Yeah.
This will make the OS completely separate from all your files. I don't really know a whole lot of details yet, but I'm assuming maybe that'll make updating easier and you might encounter less bugs because there won't be anything messing with your files.
That's a good hope.
And then, yeah, maybe. And then the second one is there's going to be some third-party integration into Finder with cloud service providers. There's going to be this new API for them to use, so they won't have to use a kernel extension. And less extensions means more security. And these apps will also be in the Mac App Store now, so that's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be pretty nifty, I think. Dave, how about you with Catalina?
Catalina, I am interested in the new podcast app actually makes me quite excited, because for the first time, Apple's native podcast app on macOS will support chapters that are in MP3 files like this one. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting, because right now you don't get that. And the podcast app is one of these Catalyst, Project Catalyst things. So I'm excited about that. From a very geeky technical standpoint, I'm also excited about the way that they've changed the layout of your drive, in that no longer are your operating system and applications and data files all in the same place. You have a writable volume for applications and your data files. Mm-hmm. And now with Catalina, you have a separate volume just for the system, and it is read only. So, you know, that part of that system extension thing that you were talking about, Andrew, is like that limitation, but they've moved the way those extensions can work so that hopefully most things will be good. So I'm excited about those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys left this for me on purpose or not, but I'm excited that I almost got my way. The outcome is what I wanted. The process with which we got there was a little bit different. I feel personally trolled by Air Force One. Can iTunes do more? And they showed the calendar in iTunes and mail in iTunes and all these things. But iTunes finally broke up in Catalina. I'm really looking forward to not having to go to the Weasley's house anymore in order to do stuff. It's going to be really nice, I hope. Dave, like you, I looked at the new podcast app on the Mac and I was really excited about it. And then I went, wait, you know, they were talking about syncing across everything. And I'm like, that looks awesome. But I don't spend enough time on it on my Mac to make it a thing where I'm going to switch the app I use on my phone in order to listen. So as cool as it sounds, like, I don't think I'm a convert yet.
Well, as a podcast, I'm more excited as a podcaster than a podcast listener because, you know, I'm a geek. I know how to get these things done on my end. But as a podcaster, especially with Matt Geek Gab, we have been releasing two versions of the show for a very long time. One in AAC because that's the only way that iTunes can see those chapters. Now, I fully realize that it will only be people on Catalina that can see chapters in the native app on the Mac in MP3 form. But it's nice that there's actually like something. Every year I meet with the podcast team at WWDC. I'm just going to say it that way. It's easy for me to say. And every year I ask them this question. And this year I started asking the question, like, are you going to have MP3 chapter support, please? You know, and as I asked the question, it was like, wait a minute. I think the answer is yes. They're like, I think so too.
Did you
like,
just tell me this?
Yeah, they hadn't tested it either, but they're like, it should be because it's ported over from iOS with Project Catalyst. And like, so from that standpoint, I'm very excited as a, you know, as a content creator, we can standardize things.
It's more available to more people.
Yeah.
And you know, if people are using the podcast app, this is easier than, you know, so that's always great. So we also got a look at the new iOS, and the big thing coming to the new version of iOS, apparently .14 is where this happens for everybody, and that's dark mode.
Yes, finally, dark mode. I mean, there are obviously different camps. Like, I like dark mode. There are some people who say it's, you know, bad for your eyes. But I'm glad that it's at least it's an option now.
Yeah. I am obligated to enjoy dark mode because it means Craig Federighi played one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite bands live on stage during a keynote. And that was Black Celebration by Depeche Mode. For those keeping track at home.
We are talking about iOS 13, not 14, right?
13, yes.
Got it. Just wanted to make sure. Okay.
I need more coffee. And, no worries. Yeah. As we Brian likes covered. To say. We'll just go iOS 13. So I think dark mode looks super cool. I think for me personally, because I've asked more than one eye doctor about, you know, like, what exactly is bad for my eyes? Because my mom always used to say, don't read in the dark, you'll ruin your eyes. But I could always see just fine. And the eye doctor always told me, if the light level is fine for you and you don't feel like you're straining, then it's fine. So I like black background sorts of things. My terminal window is always black with white text. I think it's the contrast that makes that I have a hard time with sometimes. You know, gray text on a slightly less gray background just makes me mad. It doesn't matter. Like, I have great vision, and that always just is hard to read and kind of upsetting. Like, why would you do that to people? So high contrast, I think, is going to be really great. And I liked seeing how they implemented some of it in some of the different stuff that we got a sneak peek of. I thought that was pretty great. Andrew, what else stood out to you?
So,
or did you get got dark mode and called it good?
No, I love signing with Apple. That makes me pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because that was seriously on my wish list a while ago, but I ended up deleting it because I didn't think it was that likely. But Apple gave me a nice surprise.
That's awesome. Dave, how about you?
I think we've covered most of it. I'm curious to see the updates to the like Siri voices and stuff and how those work out for me. Siri has a long way to go to catch up with all the other voice assistants, but
yes.
It seems like Apple is simultaneously remaining rooted in their choices to do things the way they've decided to do them in terms of, you know, cloud versus on device and all of that. Mm-hmm. While working really hard to leverage all that machine learning and everything to make the on device stuff more and more powerful. And, you know, I mean, all else being equal, if you can do the same thing on device that you can do in the cloud, that's better because, you mm-hmm. know, privacy. So I'm curious about that. And adding to that, you know, Siri shortcuts get a little more powerful with this release. You know, there's some incremental stuff and I like that. Reminders is something I use Apple's reminders on the back end. Mm-hmm. But my lens into them is via BusyCal on both my Mac and my iPhone, because reminders has always been so limited. So in terms of the interface of the app, the back end, obviously all the data is right there and it works really well. So I'm curious to see how they've done with reminders here. And notes, right? We get to share folders of notes, mm-hmm. which is awesome. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of little things that make me very excited. Yeah. About mm-hmm. iOS 13. Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I personally didn't get to see a lot with iPadOS, but I'm looking forward to more of that. I personally adhere to the Star Trek movie rule of betas, which is only bother with the even numbered ones. So I'm waiting for beta 2 before I pull the trigger on anything.
Yeah, and smart.
Because, like, otherwise, that way lies madness. I know better. So I'm looking forward to installing that on my iPad and seeing how things work. I heard a lot about shortcuts in iPadOS mm-hmm. being a whole lot cooler once you spend a little time in iPadOS, because there's a lot more things you can do with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all of that works. And as we find out more and scrounge up hardware we can install stuff on that we can try out, so it's not our daily driver, because, again, not always a good idea, we will let you all know more about it. And until then, I want to thank you guys for being here today. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks for being here to talk to us about advertising.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.